Morning. Today's daf is daf we're behind. We're back on daf. Hopefully today, relatively straightforward gemara, we'll have an opportunity to catch up. I don't think we're going to finish the parak today. State that for the record. Let the record show that we're not going to finish the parak today, but we will hopefully make some advances in terms of getting back to speed. We started the Mishnah yesterday. The Mishnah brought down three opinions. Quickly, we're going to review the three opinions, and we're going to go forward in the gemara. I'm reviewing the Mishnah that starts on the bottom of Dalet Amud Beis. There's this idea, there's this concept called Parhelam Davar. Parhelam Davar is brought. If the Beis Din comes out with a ruling that is incorrect, and they simply made a mistake and they came out with an erroneous ruling on one of the Averis of the Torah, specifically one of the Averis in the Torah, that comes with it the punishment of Kares, the majority of the Jewish people follow the ruling of the Beis Din. So this is a perfect case to this scenario of Parhelam Davar. The congregation needs to bring now what's called a Parhelam Davar, and it is one carbon that is brought on behalf of the entire Jewish people. Everything I just described is the opinion of Rav Meir. Rav Meir says it's one carbon for the entire Jewish people. There are two more opinions presented in our Mishnah. First, the opinion of Rav Yehuda. Rav Yehuda says that each tribe is considered a congregation. Therefore, according to Rabbi Yehuda, each tribe needs to bring its own Parhelam Davar. So if the entire Jewish people sinned, according to Rabbi Yehuda, that would equal 12 Parhelam Davars. Then there's the opinion of Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon says both. Both one par for the cult and for the entire congregation. Each par for each tribe. That is the opinion of Rabbi Shimon. One other thing, just to introduce you to, which we're going to discuss in the Gemara, is that according to Rabbi Yehuda, he holds this concept called Gerera. Gerera means, let's say it's not the entire Jewish people, but let's say it's most of the Jewish people. Let's say there are seven tribes that sin. According to Rabbi Yehuda, the other five tribes also need to bring a carbon as well. Why? They're Nigrar. They get dragged after the other tribes who sinned. Therefore, they themselves, each one of them, has to bring a carbon as well. One last thing that we learned about in our Mishnah is what if the Beis Din of a tribe comes out with an erroneous ruling, meaning not the Sanhedrin HaGadol that's in Yerushalayim. Each tribe has its own Supreme Court, has its own Beis Din. What if the Beis Din of each tribe came out with an erroneous ruling? That's subject to our machlokas and our Mishnah, and the halacha falls like the chachamim, that does not result in a parhelam davar. Good. That is so far, that's just all a review of what we learned in the Mishnah. We're now going to start with the Gemara. The Gemara is going to expose this to a braisa, and the braisa is going to do exactly what we saw yesterday, which is go through the psukim and learn out each position based on the psukim. You're going to find the psukim for all this in Parshas Vayikra. You open up Parshas Vayikra, Sefer Vayikra, Parshas Vayikra, Perek Dalet, starting with Pasuk Gimel, you will see all the psukim, all the relevant psukim that are necessary to understand. Aaron, do me a favor. Could you pass me a chumash from the back over there? I'll have the beginning of the here. Oh, that's convenient. Okay, thank you. Watch out for the. Okay, Parshas Vayikra, Sefer Vayikra, Parshas Vayikra, Perek Dalet. All right, Tanur Rabbanan. Yadu Shahor V'Tal Mahoru. Okay, the first, now this braisa is going to deal with things that we haven't discussed in our Mishnah, but the braisa is citing the psukim, darshing the psukim. So the first halacha that we're being exposed to over here, it's a funny halacha and it's not really relevant to our discussion, but still, it's part of the Gemara. Let's say Beis Din comes out with a ruling and they forgot what they ruled about. Just, it's wild to even imagine. They forgot what they ruled about. Rashi gives the example. Let's say that the majority of the Jewish people ate both blood and fat. Okay? Beis Din came out with a ruling that one of them is acceptable. It's just that Beis Din forgot which one that they ruled about. Okay? It's so hard to imagine. But still, the Bryce is making a point, and the point goes like this. So the halacha is no. The halacha is that Beis Din has to know what their erroneous ruling was about. If they forgot, so then you don't bring the par halam davar. You could make the argument, look, I know they forgot, but they did come out with a ruling, and we know that sof kol sof, whether it was about blood or whether it was about chaleb, we did follow their erroneous ruling, it's not enough. Beis Din has to remember what they ruled about. Okay, asher chatu, chatu shnei shvatim mivin shnei parim, chatu shlosha mivin shlosha. Good. Now we get to our topic. What if two tribes sin? Two par halam davars. What if three tribes sin? Three par halam davars. The Braisa entertains the Havamina. Maybe it's two per person. Maybe it's three karbanos for three people. Good. The Braisa over here tells us, no, it's by tribe. For every tribe that sins, they have to bring a par halam davar. And, in addition to that, even the tribes that don't sin also need to bring a par halam davar as well. Shafil leilu shalo chatu mevin ayideh achotin, lekach nemer kal, lechayev akol kahal vakal, divrei Rav Yehuda. This is all the opinion of Rav Yehuda. Good. So the first exposure that we have in this Braisa is to the opinion of Rav Yehuda, which in the Mishnah, by the way, he didn't get the first billing, but okay. But in the Braisa, we're exposed to the opinion of Rav Yehuda, who says that it's the par halam davar is per tribe. And not only that, but according to Rav Yehuda, even the tribes that don't sin need also to bring because they are nigrar. They get dragged after the ones that do sin. Opinion number two. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Zayin Shvatim Shechatu Mevin Zayin Parin. Uveiz Din Mevin Al Yedem Parshan Emma Lamata Kal Venema Lamala Kal. Malkal Amor Lamala Beizdin Im Akal Avkal Amor Lamata. Based in Im HaKal. Opinion number two is the opinion of Rabbi Shimon, and Rabbi Shimon says both. One par for the entire congregation, and a par for every tribe that sins. Rabbi Shimon does not subscribe to the concept of Gerera, of Nigrar, and therefore the tribes that do not sin do not bring a par. Good. Finally, the opinion of Rav Meir Omer Zayin Shvatu Shechatu Beis Din Mevin Al Yedem Par Vein Patur Nemar Kal Lamata VeNemar Kal Lamala Malkal Nehamor Lamala Beis Din Velo Tzibor Avkal Hamor Lamata Beis Din Velo Tzibor. Good. The opinion of Rav Meir is that it's one carbon brought by the Beis Din, and that's it. Okay. One more opinion that we get exposed to over here, and that's the opinion of Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar. Rabbi Shimon Elazar Amar Mishmah Chato Shisha Shvatim Heim Ruba Shokal Ozayin Alfa Pishen Ruba Shokal Mevin Par. If six of the tribes but are the populous majority, or seven tribes even though they represent the minority, if they sin based on the erroneous ruling of Beis Din, you have to bring a Par Halam Davar. The point that Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar is making is that a majority can come in one of two ways. A majority can come either in terms of majority of tribes, even though it's not the popular vote, or a majority can come in the form of popular vote. As I mentioned yesterday, similar to our system of election, right? Popular vote versus electoral vote, although we obviously choose one of the two, according to Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, either way can arrive you to the conclusion of Par Halam Davar. Good. Ad Khan, that's the end of the Braisa. And now what the Gemara does, as the Gemara does, and that is it dissects the Braisa piece by piece and analyzes each portion of the Braisa. So we start with the first point of the Braisa, which, as I mentioned already, is not relevant to our discussion, but it's here. So the Gemara uses the opportunity to discuss it. Amar mar v'noda chatas v'lo shiodo achotem. Mantana. Amar v'yura marav v'item marava d'lo karebi Eliezer. It seems that this first part of the Braisa is not in line with Rabbi Eliezer Danan. The Gemara quotes a Mishnah in Krisos. Amar Rav Elazar man Avshach, im chelav achal chayev, nosar achal chayev. The Mishnah in Krisos is not talking about Par Halam Davar. That's our discussion over here. But rather, the Mishnah in Krisos is discussing the following scenario. You had two forbidden fruits in front of you. You had chelav and you had dam. The Mishnah in Krisos discusses where you have chelav and nosar.
Right.
Thank you. You have chelav and nosar in front of you. You ate one of those things and you forgot which one you ate. Okay. And you ate it by accident, meaning you didn't know it was usar, you didn't know what it was. Either way, you ate it, okay? But when you walked away, you forgot which one you ate. Do you bring a personal carbon chatas that is subject to a machlokus between Rabbi Eliezer and who is his bar plukta? In the Mishnah Krisus? I forget. Rashi saying? Not necessary to know that information right now, but I had it. Right, to look at the top Rashi, Rabbi Elazar mechayv Rabbi Yoshua. Right, I should have figured. Okay, machlokes between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yoshua. The opinion of Rabbi Eliezer is that you don't bring a carbon chatas. The reason why you don't bring a carbon chatas, according to Rabbi Eliezer, is because you don't know which one you ate. That's Rabbi Yoshua's opinion. Thank you. Rabbi Eliezer says you would bring a carbon chatas because sof kol sof miman of shach, you ate something that warrants a carbon chatas. Okay, good. So Rabbi Eliezer subscribes to this idea of miman of shach. Look, at the end of the day, you ate something that warrants a carbon chatas, even though you don't remember. If we take his concept and we put it back in over here, it would seem that same thing over here. Beis Din came out with a ruling. They said either they said either dam or chelev is mutter. And we all ate it. We all actually ate both. And then we all forgot which one Beis Din's ruling was on. At the end of the day, Beis Din came out with a ruling. We did follow the ruling. So what difference does it make whether Beis Din remembers or doesn't remember? It would seem that Rabbi Eliezer disagrees with our Mishnah. So Rav Ashi Amar Afilu Tema Rabbi Eliezer. So Rav Ashi says not necessarily. Could be Rabbi Eliezer agrees with our Mishnah. Shani Hacha Dichsiv Asher Chatu Aleha. So it says over here no, because we have a special pasuk. The pasuk over here says Asher Chatu Aleha. We have to know which sin we sinned and which ruling Beis Din came out with. The Gemara says immediately, what do you mean? You could make the same argument by the Chatas. Hasanami Aktiv Asher Chata Ba. By the Chatas, it also says Asher Chata Ba. The Gemara says no. That pasuk over there is needed for another halacha. Ha'omibayle prat lemisasek. No. That pasuk by Chatas tells us that you only chayv a carbon Chatas if you knew what you did. However, if you weren't even intending on eating or doing an iser, so then you do not bring a carbon Chatas. This is a concept called misasek. Rashi gives a classic example. Classic example of misasek is, let's say on Shabbos, you bend down and you want to pick up some stalks of wheat on the ground. In your mind, you're thinking they're already detached from the ground. You bend down, you grab it, and lo and behold, as you're picking it up, you hear a rip because it was actually attached to the ground. You didn't know that when you were picking it up. You actually thought it was detached from the ground. That's the concept of misasek. There's no carbon whatsoever. That does not categorically fall under the category of shogeg. That's what's called misasek. Another simple example, you're standing by a light switch on Shabbos, and you go to scratch your head, and by accident you hit the light switch. You had no intention of hitting the light switch. That's not even shogeg. That's called misasek. There's no carbon over there. That's nothing. Right? That's not nisar. So the Gemara says the pasuk of Asher Chataba means that you can't prat lemisasek, it excludes a misasek. Parenthetically, by the way, Rashi points out over here that in the world of misasek, there are exceptions to misasek. For example, says Rashi, you eat chalev, right? Not even, right, what's the example of misasek by eating chalev? I don't know.
You didn't realize you were eating.
I guess, something like that. I don't know. Okay, it's hard to imagine a case of misasek by eating chalev. But if you can imagine a case of misasek, Rashi says there's no misasek by eating chalev. Why? Because you're benefiting. You're getting hana, and because you're getting hana, so therefore it doesn't fall into the category of misasek. Okay, that's a parenthetical note. We go on in the Gemara. All right, my time of the Rav Yehuda. Okay, now we're going to hit our topic. Again, in the Braisa, there are four opinions in terms of who has to bring the par helam dover. Okay, good. My time of Rav Yehuda, Kasavar Abar Kahalik Siv. Kahal, HaKahal, Kahal, HaKahal. Okay. So it's all going to be drushas now, and we're generating halacha based on the number of drushas that there are. It says the word Kahal four times. not precisely, but in the world of drasha, it says it four times. In Pasuk Yud Gimel, the Pasuk reads like this: V'im kol adas Yisrael yishgu, v'nelam davar, and the matter was forgotten, me'enei hakahal, from the eyes of the congregation, v'asu achas mikol mitzvot ha'shem asher lo se'asena v'ashemu, and they did one of the mitzvot, and they were guilty. Okay, so you see the word hakahal once. Now go to the next Pasuk, Pasuk Gedalad, v'noda achatas asher chatu alaha, and it became known to them the sin that they sinned, which we already darshened. That's the beginning part of the Braisa. Vihi krivu hakahal. And the congregation brings, par ben bakalachatas vevi also lefnei olam moed. Okay. You realize, first of all, it only says the word kal twice, not four times. Okay? If I can clarify that issue, what we're going to do is that the hay in front is treated like an independent word, because the hay is superfluous, and therefore, when it says hakahal, we count it as two times. So, and it says hakahal twice, two times two, four. Okay, that's number one. You realize that the first kahal and the second kahal aren't necessarily the same congregation. In Pasuk Yud Gimel, right, v'ne'elam davar me'enei hakahal, and the matter became confused, hidden from the eyes of the congregation, right? That seems to be talking about the Beis Din, right? The Beis Din was obscured in the ruling. In the second pasuk, in Pasuk Yedal, we're certainly talking about the congregation. We're talking about the people, right? The Krivu HaKahal Par Ben Bakar, right? That seems to be talking about the people, ostensibly. The Gemara Darshan is like this. This is now all in conjunction with Rabbi Yehuda. Okay? In the Gemara, we are... What happened? Where are we? Okay. Right. Yeah. I'll get there. I know it. My time in the Rabbi Yehuda, again, four lines down after the lines become wide. Kasav Rabbi Kahal, Stevi Kahal, 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 says Kahal four times. Chalachayva kol Kahal v'Kahal. So first of all, each Kahal is treated as an... each tribe is treated as an independent Kahal. That's number one. Two, the psak has to come from Beis Din, but the action, meaning the avera, has to be done by the people. Three, the concept of gerera, like we discussed, the tribes that did not sin still need to bring parhelam davar. And four, what if the tribe followed the ruling of its Beis Din? Okay, good. Those are the four halachas that are generated by Rabbi Yehuda. Now we turn to Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon Tlasik HaLeksiv. HaKahal, Kahal, HaKahal. And why three? How come he came out to three, not four? Me'enei HaKahal Orche Dekrahu. Because when it says Enei HaKahal, that's just standard way of the Torah writing, and that can't be counted as a drasha. Kedamin Shime'enei Depanaya. Right? Similarly, the Gemara says, when you say the eyes of so-and-so, right, it's the hay is just standard writing procedure. Now, three halachas. Chalachai v'kol kal v'kal. So number one, each tribe is treated like its own kal. Two, tre achrina nemar lamata kal v'nemar lamala kal ma'alahalam bezin im ha-kahal avkan bezin im ha-kahal. According to Rabbi Shimon, bezin and the kal work in conjunction with one another. Meaning that just like the congregation brings a karban, a parhelam davar, so does Beis Din. That's the opinion of Rabbi Shimon. Okay. Oh, by the way, I'm sorry. And that takes care of the last two kahals in order to generate that gzeirah shava. Good. Now we get up to Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir kahal akal lo darish. First of all, the extra hay he doesn't darshan. Hilchos tre kahal ksiva. So according to Rabbi Meir, how many kahals do we have to darshan? Only two. Mibayle lenema lamata kahal v'nema lamala kahal lahalan bezdin v'lo tzibur avkan bezdin v'lo tzibur. According to Rav Meir, actually it is the definition. The word kahal in the pasuk is talking about bezdin. Bezdin and not the community. So in other words, in pasuk Yud Gimel is talking about bezdin, clearly. So is it talking about that in pasuk Yedalah as well. Meaning this karban, according to Rav Meir, is a Beis Din karban, not a congregation karban. Beis Din brings the karban, not the congregation. only one carbon, not multiple carbonos. Good. Finally, the opinion of Shimon ben Lazar, my time exiv ayami ne haida ama miyuta diksiv me ene. So the word me ene indicates a minority. Uksiv ki lechola am bishkaga, and it says also lechola am bishkaga. Now, to be fair, the Gemara is quoting over here a pasuk, not here in Vayikra, but rather there in Parsha Shlach. Okay, I'll discuss that in just a moment. Lamema deruba in miyutalo. But that indicates that it's rov, not minority. Haketzad. So which is it, minority, majority? So the Gemara says, I'll tell you. Asu vavehin ruban shakal o zayin afe pishen ruban shakal chayavin. If six tribes sinned, so that is, but I'm sorry, but they represent the majority of the Jewish people. Har halam davar. If seven tribes sin, even though they represent a minority, par halam davar. Okay. Good. All right? So, it's a lot of drashas, but the point the Gemara made now is that each position, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Meir, and Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, each one of them generate the halacha based on how they darshan Pasuk Gimel as a response to Pasuk Yedalin. Okay. Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Meir, the Haraz Tuluya Bebeis and Maisa Tuluya Bekamanale. Now, there's a halacha that everyone agrees to, which is, Beis Din comes out with the ruling, but the people have to be the ones making the mistake. Everyone agrees to that. Where's that generated from? So, Amar Abayda, Amar Krav, Ayami, Inei Haida, Nesasal Shkaga. Rava Amar Milchola Am Bishkaga. So, Abay and Rava are generating it from two different psukim. Now, both of them quote from Parsha Shlach, which is the area where we derive the halacha of par halam davar by avodah zara. The Gemara says, why do we have two psukim utzricha? They actually complement one another, the two psukim. I would have thought me'ene represents even a minority. No, you need a majority. I might have thought that Beis Din also needs to be participating in the Avera. Okay, now the Gemara makes the point. These psukim are in Avodah Zarah. The Gemara says that doesn't matter. Yalfinan hu diksivi, yalfinan me'ene. We have Gzeres Shavah linking our Parsha Par Halam Davar in Vayikra to the Parsha of Avodah Zarah Bishkaga mentioned in Parshas Shlach. Okay. Horu Beis Din Shel Echad. E Bailu Shevet Echad L'Rabbi Yehuda Baraz Beis Din HaGadol Mi Maisi Shar Shvatim Olo. Okay. We have this concept, according to Rabbi Yehuda, the concept of Gerera. The Gemara now wants to know, do we say the following? That the concept of Gerera would apply, according to Rabbi Yehuda, even if one tribe sinned. Again, let's get our facts down straight. According to Rabbi Yehuda, every tribe is considered its own unit. Every tribe is considered its own kahal, its own congregation. Mm. According to Rabbi Yehuda, if one tribe sins, they have to bring a par halam davar. Clearly, unequivocally. We also know, according to Rabbi Yehuda, there's this concept of gerera, that the other tribes get dragged along, right? I guess it's, you know, the bystander principle over here, right? They should have said something, they should have done something, right? They guilt by association, if you will, fine. The other tribes need to bring a carbon as well. Is this concept of gerera only when the majority of tribes sin, then the other tribes have to come along for the ride? Or, according to Rabbi Yehuda, even if one tribe sins, the other 11 tribes come along for the ride as well. So the Gemara wants to know now, according to Rabbi Yehuda, does Gerera apply even if it's only one tribe that sins? Tashma. Come in here, says the Gemara. Now we quote a Braisa. Now this Braisa, quite honestly, is obscure. It's ambiguous. The Braisa says, quotes the opinion of the Tanakhama, one bull. Then it quotes the opinion of Rabbi Shimon, two bulls. Okay? B'may askinan. So, now that we quoted the Braisa, the Gemara is going to do what it does, and that is speculate. speculate in terms of what the Brice is talking about. So if we're talking about a case where there are seven tribes who sin, so Rabbi Shimon would therefore require eight parhelim davars, one for each tribe. Remember, Rabbi Shimon says yes and yes, both each tribe brings and Beis Din brings, so that would be eight. Ela dechato sheven echad. So must be we're talking about one tribe sinned. B'mai ibaharaz Beis Dino. Now, is it because a ruling came out from the tribal Supreme Court? Rabbi Shimon Leislai. Rabbi Shimon doesn't subscribe to that concept. Only Rabbi Yehuda subscribes to that concept. Good. So that can't be the case. Ela baharaz Beis Din Agadol. So the case must be where a ruling was issued by the Beis Din Agadol, followed by one tribe, and Rabbi Shimon says, good, that one tribe brings a parhelim davar. Good. And what about the Beis Din? Yeah, I'm sorry. Correct. Right? Michael, you're absolutely correct. Rabbi Shimon says that that tribe brings a parhelim davar, and the Beis Din brings a parhelim davar. Good. And that's why Rabbi Shimon says you bring two. Good. Now that we've illustrated the case, now that we've isolated what the case is talking about, now let's go back to the Tanna Kamma. Now we right now don't even know who the Tanna Kamma is, but we do know the case. The case is Beis Din came out with a ruling, one tribe followed the ruling. Good. Tanna Kamma mani inem Rabbi Meir haruba bai. Now it can't be Rabbi Meir, because we know that according to Rabbi Meir, he does not segregate the Bnei Yisrael into tribes. So if one tribe sinned, that's nothing according to Rabbi Meir. Elala Rabbi Yehuda. So, by process of elimination now, it's not Rabbi Shimon, it's not Rabbi Meir, that leaves us with Rabbi Yehuda. Skip the parentheses. Good. So, this is now the Gemara, and if we're right, sorry, pause for just a moment. If we're right that this is now Rabbi Yehuda, the Gemara has successfully made its point. We don't say Greira, because it's only one tribe that sins. And if we're identifying the Tanna Kamma as Rabbi Yehuda, which the Gemara is now positing, so then we would have to suggest that all the other tribes go along for the ride, and there would be in fact 12 parhelim davars. The Brisa says only one. Therefore, what the Gemara would like to conclude is that according to Rabbi Yehuda, we don't hold the Greira if only one tribe sins. Okay. The Gemara says, Amri hachabamai skinin kikon shechato shisha shvatim vehim rubu shakal Rabbi Shimon ben Elazarhi. The Gemara says no. You know what the case is over here? Six tribes sin, but they were the majority of the Jewish people. And the Braisa reflects the opinion of Shimon ben Elazar. The Tanya, Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar Omer, Mishmao Chatu Shisha Vein Ruba Shokal, Oshiva Fa Pishenim Ruba Shokal, Mevi'im Par. Perfect. And therefore, the Braisa is not talking about our case of one tribe sinning, and the Tanna Kamma is not reflecting the view of Rabbi Yehuda, but rather the view of Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar. And it works out perfectly. Because according to Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, there is one carbon that's brought, because the populist majority sinned. And according to Rabbi Shimon, two carbonos. One for the populace, and one for Beis Din. Good. Tashma. Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shevet Shalsa Baraz Beis Dino, Oso Shevet Chayir Ushar Kol HaShvatim Petorim. The Gemara says, well, we can learn it from the last part of the Mishnah, in which the Mishnah describes a scenario of the Beis Din of the Sheva coming out with a ruling. And there, Rabbi Yehuda writes, his opinion is that Sheva has to bring a parhelim davar. Now, how do we learn that anything about Greira from that? Amar Ravashi. Ravashi explains. Masis nami deka diktani ve'aso oso oshevet al piem oso oshevet chayv b'shar kol shvatim peturim. Lama lemitzah shar shvatim peturim. Ah, Ravashi makes a great observation. You know, it didn't have to say, and the other tribes are off the hook. Meaning, if the basin of that tribe comes out with a ruling, the other tribes are off the hook. Of course, the other tribes are off the hook. Hatana also a shevet chayav. It came to Tana also a shevet chayav. Mimela yadana shar shvatim peturim. I know the other tribes are off the hook. Ela hakamash malan de baraz beis dino hu de shar shvatim peturim. Hava baharaz beis din agadol afilu shar shvatim chayavim shma mina. So Ravashi makes a beautiful diuk. If the Beis Din of that tribe comes out with a ruling, then the other tribes are off the hook. But if it's Beis Din Hagadol, all the other tribes are on the hook through the principle of Gerera. Perfect. Okay? The conclusion of the Gemara is, okay, it's easy to get lost here. The conclusion of the Gemara is that according to Rabbi Yehuda, every tribe is considered like an independent unit. Every tribe needs to bring a parhalim davar if it sinned. Even if one tribe sinned, according to Rabbi Yehuda, the other tribes, each one of them need to bring a parhalim davar. That's the concept of Gerera. And by the way, the Rambam paskins like Rabbi Yehuda. Okay? So Rabbi Yehuda is the accepted halachic viewpoint. Each tribe is a shevet, and as long as one shevet is in on the chet, so all the other tribes come along for the ride.
So we don't have the idea of majority anymore.
Yes, we do. Just majority per tribe.
Per tribe.
Okay. E bayelahu shevet achas shasa baraz based in agadol Rabbi Shimon mi maisi olo. Okay. A discussion now, an analysis in the opinion of Rabbi Shimon. You have one tribe who follows the Haraz Beis Din HaGadol. So, according to Rabbi Shimon, yes or no? Does the Beis Din need to bring? The Gemara says, Tashma, come in here. Ma'im Mevin Parechad, Rabbi Shimon Omar Shnei Parim. Again, we go back to this ambiguous Braisa, where Rabbi Shimon says, two bulls. So, skip parentheses. Shnei Parim, Shmona Parim Bayi. What do you mean, two? Eight. Right? Ela Dechad Shevet Echad. Obviously, not eight, because only one tribe sinned. It can't be talking about the Beis Din of the tribe, because Rabbi Shimon lays late, because Rabbi Shimon doesn't subscribe to that. So good. So it's the ruling of the Beis Din HaGadol, followed by the complicit following of one tribe who followed that Beis Din HaGadol. And according to Rabbi Shimon, what do you see? Two parts. One for the tribe and one for Beis Din. Perfect. V'tizbara tanakama mani. The Gemara says, again, let's go back to our problem that we experienced earlier. Who's the tanakama of this braisa? E Rabbi Meir, Haruba Bai. Can't be Rabbi Meir, because Rabbi Meir needs majority of the Jewish people, period. And E Rabbi Yehuda, Shar Shvatim Nami Maisi. And as we already established, according to Rabbi Yehuda, each tribe brings a karbon through the principle of Gerera. Hamani Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, Uchid Tanya. So the Gemara says, remember that the first part of the braisa is talking about Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, who discusses the scenario of either six tribes sinning or seven tribes sinning, and they don't represent the majority of the population. Okay. Which means then that the braisa is not referring to one tribe sinning, and we have not concluded, therefore, what Rabbi Shimon would feel if one tribe sinned. Tashma, the Gemara says, okay, let's go here. So that's the last line of our Mishnah. Who's the Chachamim? Elam Rabbi Meir Rubabai. Again, it can't be Rabbi Meir, because he demands the entire or majority population. Rabbi Shimon, he Shmamina. Okay, so it is Rabbi Shimon. Okay, good. We have now, so far, the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, each tribe is considered a Kahal. Rabbi Shimon agrees with him on that. Where does that come from? Where does the concept come from that each tribe is considered its own congregation, its own Kahal? Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Shimon, Shevet Echad, Dikrei Kahal, Menalehu. Where did they get that from? Amri Dechziv, Vayamod Yehoshaphat, Bekal Yehuda, Yushalayim, Hachadasha. I skipped the parentheses. It's not, I shouldn't have skipped it. Rather, it's just corrected, right? It's the pasuk reads Vayamod Yehoshaphat Bekal Yehuda Yushalayim Beis Hashem Lifnei Chatzer Hachadasha, the new Chatzer. Now the Gemara takes us off on a quick tangent. What does that mean? Chadasha. Rav Yochanan Shechichu Dvarim VaAmru Tzvul Yom Al Yikanes B'Machan Aleviya. Even though the Har HaBayis is categorically like Machan Aleviya, and even though under the Torah law, a tful yom, which means someone who's tameh, who toveled in the mikvah and needs to wait till the evening in order to be tahor, even though minatari he's allowed to go into the har habayis, Yehoshaphat demanded that a tful yom is not allowed to go into har habayis. That's the chadasha, the new law that was instituted. Okay, that's a tangent, But the main point that the Gemara is making is that Kahal Yehuda, even though it's only the tribe of Yehuda, but they call it a Kahal, a congregation. So you see that one tribe is called a congregation. The Gemara says, wait a second, we're talking about Yerushalayim. Yerushalayim is represented by two tribes. Yerushalayim is incorporated by two tribes, Yehuda and Binyamin. In fact, if you remember, we talked about how the boundary of Yehuda and Binyamin actually runs right through the middle of the Beis HaMikdash. So Yerushalayim is in fact subdivided between Yehuda and Binyamin. So the fact that it's called Kahal is not reflective of the fact that it's one tribe. It's actually two tribes. The Gemara quotes a pasuk from Parshas Vayechi, and it says, I'm going to multiply you. Right? And this is right. And I'm sorry. And Binyamin is not yet born. So you see that Binyamin is called Kahal Amim. Manis Yal, and the Gemara makes exactly this point. Manis Yal Le Haishai to Binyamin. Shema Mina. So the Gemara, so you see over here that one tribe, meaning Binyamin, is called Kahal, is called the congregation. The Gemara again rejects this proof as well. Hachi Kamarachman Misyal Lachash to Kahal Achrina. I'm sorry. The Gemara establishes a point. What is Hashem saying to Yaakov? That you're going to have a son and he's going to be Kahal. Which means that every tribe is considered Kahal. Good. That's the proof. Amar Lei, Ella, Shnei Masar Shvatim Ikru Kahal, Echad Asar Shvatim Lo Ikru Kahal. No. Maybe the point is that when you get to 12, then you're going to be called Kahal. But in other words, as 11, you're not Kahal. Tanya Rishimon Omer Matam Alomar Upar Sheni Ben Bakar Tikach Lechatas Im Alam Ishem Shnayim Valo Kvar Nemar Vasa. Sorry, before I speed ahead. Okay, so we have now this idea that one tribe is called the Kahal. Either it's generated from the pasuk in Yehoshaphat, in Malachim, which the Gemara is not that excited about, because it doesn't necessarily reflect one tribe. It could be Yerushalayim subdivided between Yehuda and Binyamin, or it could be from the discussion that Hashem has with Yaakov. Look, you're going to have a son, and he's going to be a Kahal. Okay, so either one of those two sources indicate that one tribe is in fact called a Kahal. The Gemara now is going to challenge Tanya. Good. We are now moving to a different area in Halacha, specifically the inauguration of the Leviim. And in the inauguration of the Leviim, they brought both a par as an ola and a par as a chatas. Why does the Torah go out of its way to say that par shani ben bakar tikach lechatas? Right? Why does it say the second cow? Of course it's the second cow. It's a special chatas. This chatas is not eaten. And the Gemara says, and I'll show you another carbon chatas in history that's not eaten. Now, by the way, we haven't started kachim yet, but you know that normally a chatas is eaten by the Kohanim. Only there are a small special list of carbon chatases that are not eaten. So the Gemara points to one. During the Chanukas HaMishkan, the inauguration, the Levim were not allowed to eat their carbon chatas. And another time in history is going to be when they came back in to build the second temple. And the Gemara quotes the pasuk from Ezra. Kayotze bo amar av Yosi habayim me hashvi hagola hikrivu alos la'elokei Yisrael parim shnei masar. So, 12 bulls were brought. So hakol ola, hakol ola sakadach efshe shechatas ola. What does that mean? It's all an ola. Ela hakol ke ola. It's like an ola. Ma ola lo neechalas avchatas lo neechalas. The Tanya, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, alavaros kochavim heviyum. The Amr Rabbi Yehuda, Amr Shmuel, alavaros kochavim shasu bimei tzidkiyahu. Good. Why are we bringing all this in? What's going on right now? We're trying to make the Gemara is making a case. And the case that the Gemara is putting together is like this. We have now clearly an idea that when the Jews came back in from the exile, remember the exile between the first and second temple was a short one, it's only 70 years. We're going to learn in just a moment. There were people there at the building of the second temple who actually remembered the first temple. You didn't have to be that old. You could have been 80 years of age and you would have remembered. Right? And we see in the Psukim in Ezra that when they came in to build the second temple, they brought 12 Ola-like chatases. Okay. We're going to focus on the number 12. First of all, we know why did they bring them? Because they were worshipping idolatry at the end of the first temple period under King Tzidkiyahu. So as an atonement for that, they therefore came into the second temple, and one of the first karbanos that they brought was 12 chatases. Okay, so far so good.
One for each tribe?
One for each tribe. And the Gemara now is putting a case together that how come they're making one for each tribe? So this is going to be supportive of Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Huda that each tribe is considered an independent column. Okay. Now, the Gemara continues to make its case. According to Rabbi Yehuda, the number 12 is perfect. Because remember, according to Rabbi Yehuda, each tribe is considered its own separate kahal. And even if all 12 tribes didn't sin, but Rabbi Yehuda holds to this concept of greira, which means that the tribes that didn't sin are going to bring for the tribes that did sin. Perfect. The number 12 is a perfect match for Rabbi Yehuda. However, Ula Rabbi Shimon nami mishkach lakigon dechatu echaras ha-shvatim demaisu echaras ha-siirim v'idach de-bezdin. And according to Rabbi Shimon, it may not be perfect, but we can get to the number 12. Because remember, Rabbi Shimon says that each tribe has to bring and Beis Din has to bring. So according to Rabbi Shimon, the case would be, although it's strange, but the case would be 11 tribes worshipped idolatry. So 11 Seirim are brought for each tribe and one for the Beis Din that came out with the erroneous ruling. Good. So that's how you get to the number 12. So, but according to Rab Meir, there's never 12. It's only going to be one. So according to Rav Meir, how come when they came in at the beginning of the Second Temple, they brought 12 Seirim? So the Gemara gives an answer. Kigon dechatu v'hadr chatu v'hadr chatu. Atres ar zimne. You're right. 12 Piske Halacha were issued by Beis Din, and they repeated again and again and again, and it was repeated 12 times. Okay, it's a strange answer, but at least it is an answer that can explain why you're bringing 12 karbanos for Rabbi Meir. V'ha'maisalu hani dechatu. V'ha'maisalu hani dechatu. So the Gemara is bothered by the following. Wait a second. When you bring a karban chatas, who needs to bring it? The people who actually sinned. Right? The Gemara at this point in time is wondering, the people that came back with Ezra, they're not the people who sinned. Amra Papa ki gemir chatu shemesa bala b'misa hanimila b'yachad avala b'tzibor lefi she'en misa b'tzibor. The Gemara says, you're right. On an individual level, you're absolutely right. But this is a tzibor, this is a community. Communities don't die. Okay? And therefore, if the carbon was set aside by the community, even though the members of that community were not there, but the carbon still can be brought. Carbon, because sibor, I'm sorry, Lefisha ein misa b'tzibur. There's no death when it comes to a tzibur. Menale l'rapapaha. The Gemara says, where is this idea generated from? Ilema midichsiv tachas avotzecha yubanecha. Maybe it's a pasuk in Tehillim that your sons replace the parents. Yachia filo biyachinami. No, because that pasuk indicates both tzibur and yachin. Ala dukya d'rapapa misir d'rosh chodesh. I'll tell you how he learns it from. From the goat that's brought on Rosh Chodesh. We know that there's a chatzos goat brought every Rosh Chodesh. Where's the money come from? Chumas Alishka. Who gives the money? Everybody. Now, we know that unfortunately there are people who are going to die from the time that they gave the money to the time that the seer Rosh Chodesh is brought. You see that when it comes to a tzibor, even if the members died, but nevertheless you still bring it. The Gemara says, "Me dummy, that's not a great comparison." So the Gemara says, "Look, over there, it's not they're definitely going to die; it's that they may die. Here, I'm telling you that from the time of the destruction of the first temple to the time of the building of the second temple, almost everyone died." Gemara tries to generate it from the Egla Arufa, and the Gemara says that the kapara from the Egla Arufa is mechaper for not only this event, this murder, but for previous murders as well. Right, the Gemara says again, that's not a good case study. Look, the people that need the kapara are right here. You want to tell me that it also is mechaper for history, for historic events? That's fine, but they're here. But over here, they're not alive. And the Gemara says exactly what I said a little bit earlier. They were there. The people that were from the first temple were there witnessing the building of the second temple. The Dilma Mu'atim Havu, the Gemara says maybe they represented a really small minority. Velo Rabim Havu, two more lines of Gemara for today. Haksiv, Shura Sasimcha Lakol Bechi A'am, Vakol Nishma Adam Lemerechok. The Gemara says it's not true. Believe it or not, it's so interesting. The Gemara says that the people who returned to build the second temple, the majority of them were there and were present during the time of the second temple period. That was the majority. Very interesting. First temple period. Finally, one last question for this morning. Vaham mizidim havu. You realize that this whole discussion is a very strange discussion. Because we're trying to learn out the Par Helam Davar. Par Helam Davar is when Basin comes out with an erroneous ruling. The Avodah Zarah that was done during the time of Tzidkiyahu, that was not Shogeg. Right? One of the reasons why the first temple was destroyed is because they deliberately were over the Avodah Zarah. So the Gemara says, Harad Shah Haisa, yeah, this was a special psak halacha to bring these karbanos. And Tosfos makes the point, once we're here at this point in the Gemara, and we're saying Harad Shah, really then, you can go back over all this Gemara that we just did, and really it's not relevant to the discussion of Par Helam Davar. In fact, the Gemara goes on to say, Hachinami Mistar, but you have to say it's Harad Shah. The Ilo Temahachi, because look, if you go back to the Psukim in Ezra, you will see, Elim 96 kvasim shiva 77 96 rams, 77 sheep. What's that? What are those kabanas? Can I get me? It was in fact a hara'as sha'a.